Well, join me back in the Psalms this morning. You remember we were in Psalm 11 last week, and we're going to take a look at Psalm 13 today. Psalm 13 this morning, Psalm 13, interesting Psalm. Hopefully this will be helpful as we think through Psalm 13 today. What's going on there? Been thinking this week a little bit on some of these issues that are in Psalm 11 and 13, and I was asked to speak at a conference this January on grief and anxiety. Very interesting that those two topics are given to me, but they were. And so I do think that's a great; those are great topics to treat. And Psalm 13 certainly. There's some grief going on there and some grieving going on in there. How to grieve well? Where do you draw the line on when grief turns into depression or whatever you want to, however you want to call it, or when grief even turns into anxiety? Psalm 11, finding your refuge in God. It's been interesting going through these early book one Psalms and seeing how there's so much connection between so many of these Psalms. And the idea is overlapping. Sometimes there's a question that's answered by the next psalm or two. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? How can a good meaning friend giving bad counsel? How can you say, trust in something of this world when it's the Lord where I find my refuge? In the Lord I take refuge. And we remember that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. The one thing I would say probably on Psalm 11 as a follow-up that'll help us with Psalm 13 a little is I've been meditating on this week again and thinking through Psalm 11. There's much going on in Psalm 11, but really it's about this idea of finding your refuge in God. How do you do that practically? We talked about it a little bit last week, but what are some practical things? What does that look like? And it really is, it's like so many things in the scriptures, and it comes back to faith. Where is your trust? If you think about the idea that's presented in some of the refuge verses of a fortress or a strong tower, those have a purpose. The purpose of those are protection. You run in that tower because you know there's safety there, right? I mean, it just makes sense. You don't stand outside the tower and say, well, I have a tower, right? You know, you trust the tower. The tower has a purpose. It gives you safety. And it's that idea of God. Now, you can't run into God, right? He's not going to physically appear here. But you can run to God. How? By faith, right? And part of this will be in Psalm 13, too. One of the things that Christians, I think all of us just need to grow in until we die, is learning to direct your mind. You can live passively, the word control your mind, I think, doesn't fit because you don't have control, but it really is the idea, depending on how you use the word control, is direct. Direct your mind. I will trust in the Lord. He is my refuge. This is a hard situation. I'm attacked, but God is my refuge. I trust Him for the outcome, and I'm going to let Him take care of me and protect me. And it's by faith, isn't it? Because God isn't, if God was right there, you could run over there and you could stand by Him. Nothing's going to happen to you. Well, God is here, right? He's just not present here the same exact way He's in heaven. We can't physically see Him. He is present, but we know that by faith today. And that's what this life is, this material life that we're living. God give us this to live by faith. And that's a big part of all the things and these questions that are going on in these Psalms, Psalm 11, Psalm 13, you find your refuge in God by faith, primarily by faith, by trusting in Him and letting Him be your refuge. Instead of God being your last resort, well, I've tried everything I can and it's still a mess, He becomes your first resort. Do you see? Does that make sense? He's where you run for refuge. He is your strong tower. He is the place where you find protection. And the same idea in Psalm 13, we'll come back to that. Follow along as I read Psalm 13. This is a very interesting psalm. And I'll come back. Let me read it first. To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Very, very interesting and helpful psalm. I think hopefully you'll see as we unpack this. Let's pray together, though, and ask God to open our minds, open our hearts to receive his word. God, thank you again for Psalm 13 and just the veracity of the scriptures and seeing that real life is portrayed. Real life, real people with real doubts, people with real sorrows, people with anxieties and grief, people that when life hurts, what do you do? And it's not all just the good or what we want to be good. God, thank you for this time in David's life when he's able to express those questions and hardships and just to help us work through that ourselves. Many of us, or maybe all of us, will have times like this. And just pray as we unpack this, you'd give us a spiritual mind, and that your Holy Spirit would work in us to help us understand your purpose for giving us this, and that it would be personal to us, where we could use your word and make us different and more like Christ at the end of the day. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes God seems distant. Of course, in preparing for this, I had to think through and just probably not everyone. You know, sometimes you have a scripture and you say, you know what, we've all felt like this, right? You've all felt this. And that's true of many of the scriptures. This one, maybe not. Maybe you felt it a little bit, maybe you've not. But for some of us, this speaks to you. You know what it's like when God feels distant. You know what it's like when you just have had those times when you're just sitting there and you think, where is God at? Is God going to show up? What's going on here? I don't understand. I've talked to many people who that takes on a life of its own, to the point of, well, does God even exist? Right? It's just that time of spiritual dryness. God seems distant. You're not sure. You don't understand. Why isn't he there? Why isn't he showing up? Why isn't he doing what I think he should do, or what he has said he would do? Again, this is a psalm of David that is inspired. We do know for sure that that was by the Holy Spirit, to the choir master, to be sung as for the people to hear. And David says, how long, O Lord? And so this gives us just the sense that this has been a time of grieving, of just this, like I say, the spiritual dryness, where he just feels like, where is God even at in this thing? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart? How long, how long, how long, how long? God, when is this going to end? And David was feeling like God had hidden himself from David. He's like, where are you? I can't find you. I don't see you. I don't know what's going on. And I don't even feel you in my life. God had hidden his face from David, right? How long will you hide your face from me? Remember last week, the Lord tests the righteous. The soul hates the wicked, the one who loves violence. The Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. Psalm 11, right to 13. How long will you hide your face from me? What's going on? You know, and you have those times, sometimes you wonder, what did I do? Is there some sin in my life? Is there something that I'm not seeing, or something that I've covered up? Why would God be distant from me? And that's kind of what David is going through there. Why have you hidden your face from me? I don't understand this. I don't see anything in my life that would that would make you not be with me or be against me, as James says, the proud, God is against the proud. The righteous, they will see his face, his name will be on their foreheads, our future, we get to see the Lord. But at this time in his life, David says, it just feels like God's not there. Where is he? How long? Is this going to be forever? You ever felt like that? Boy, God, I don't know if I can take this. This needs to end. It just feels like it's going to last forever. And we see later in the psalm, we'll come back to it, but that he just felt like even he would die in this state. I feel like my life is just going to end, and this is how it's going to be. Now, this is the worst kind of trouble, in my opinion. It's opinion time, but this is the worst kind of trouble to have. Because in the world, we will have tribulation. The world will mess you up. It's going to, by the way. Just count on it. Well-meaning people are going to hurt you in this world, and let alone all the evil that's in this world and increasing. But when the only thing that you have is the Lord, that's a sweet thing. Because he is your God. No one can take him from you. And you have him forever, and he's with you, and you have heaven. But then when life feels like you don't even have God, man, that's the worst kind of trouble. That's when nothing makes sense. And that's what David is experiencing here. I don't know what's going on. Please end this. Feeling, you might have heard it described as feeling spiritually dry. You know, where you just, I don't know, I'm just dry. I just feel like a desert. I'm in the desert, a spiritual desert. God seems distant. You doubt. You wonder if he hears you. You don't see him work. You don't feel like you're hearing from his word. You know, you read the word and it just, you're in that funk and it just doesn't speak to you. Questions roll around in your mind, right? How long must I take counsel in my soul, have sorrow in my heart? His questions are rolling around in his mind. You know, that's all he's thinking about. Where is God in this? And this overwhelming feeling. Again, it is the worst kind of problem, worst kind of trouble. It's overwhelming. How long, how long, how long? It kind of dominates your mind it dominates your day. And like I say, sometimes these times of just real, genuine grief can spin out of control. And then they dominate you, and you get into a depressive state. It's not good. Brought low is another way to describe it. You're just brought low. You're on your face. Nothing makes sense. And God is just not there. And that's what David is describing. Like I said, I don't think necessarily you could say everyone has this experience, but maybe to some degree, but maybe not to this, but some of us have. Some of us have had just these deep times where it's just really hard and God seems distant. David felt abandoned, and I have a few psalms that are connecting here. Psalm 71:12, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. You know, God, don't be far from me. You're all I've got. You know, when you feel like God is not near you, that's a problem. That's trouble. Do not forsake me, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me. Don't forsake me. I'm done with you, right? That's what David is describing here, isn't he? I feel like, God, that you're done with me. You've left me. I don't hear you. I don't see your face. Jesus, this is a messianic psalm what we talked about in Psalm 2. And this is definitely of Jesus because he quoted this. And we know that this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus quoted it from the cross. It's definitely a messianic psalm. And in Psalm 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Can you imagine Jesus hanging on the cross, dying after being treated so horribly, but then the ultimate horror that the Father turns his back on Jesus as Jesus becomes sin. That perfect fellowship has to be separated for that time, that Jesus becomes sin. And Father pours out his wrath on Jesus. And that feeling of God's distance that he never had before, that abandonment, that turning of the face away because he had to bear the wrath, our punishment on himself on the cross. The Father pours out his wrath. And Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22:1. Now hear this. This is pretty amazing. When you feel like you don't know where God is and you don't see his face and you don't see him and you have this time of spiritual dryness, Jesus knows how you feel. Isn't that amazing? That somehow the Son can perfectly identify with you because the Father had to turn his back on Christ when Christ became sin. He knows. He understands what it's like. He understands what that feels like. My God, why have you forsaken me? Despair. It can be a time of despair. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction that we experienced in Asia. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength, we despaired of life itself. We had felt we would receive the sentence of death. That's pretty low. But that was to make us not rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I love the answer in that one. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy and your faithfulness. Answer me in your righteousness. Job 3. Let the day perish on which I was born and the night that said a man is conceived. This is some pretty deep despair here. I wish I was never born. Let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it nor light shine on it. Let gloom and deep darkness claim it. Let clouds dwell upon it. The blackness of the day terrify it. That night let thick darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful cry enter it. Let those who curse it curse the day who are ready to rouse up Leviathan. Let the stars of its dawn be dark. Let it hope for light but have none, nor see the eyelids of the morning, because it did not shut the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb, and expire? That's some pretty dark stuff right there. I just wish I had never been born. I even hate the day because my life has become so full of trouble. If you have a copy of the scriptures, turn to Psalm 88. You can look into this and bust my chops next week if I'm wrong here, because this is a little bit off the hip. But I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that Psalm 88 is the only lament that has no resolution. I believe that's true. I'm not 100% positive on that, but I believe that's true. And I chose it because it has no resolution. You know, we see in the scriptures, you know, in Psalm 13, right? Oh God, you're so far from me, but I hope, right? Psalm 88 does not have that. A song of the sons of Korah to the choir master, according to the Mahalath, Lenioth, Maskil of Heman the Ezrahite, who wrote a couple of psalms. O Lord God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions of dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with your waves, Selah. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up and praise you? Selah. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you in the morning. My prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. No resolution. Just a time of despair It just feels like in Psalm 88 that the psalmist feels like God has just abandoned him, Heman. Despair, just utter despair. And that's what David is describing here. A deep, life-dominating sorrow. You find words like overwhelmed or depressed, rejected, alone. He's suffering. God seems distant, and there seems to be no end. We have a friend who recently lost their husband of many years, and she just recently said, "It's just a time of spiritual dryness for me. She just pray for me. I'm just spiritually feel dry." She's describing exactly what these psalms are describing to us. Where is God in this? Sometimes life feels like that, and it is very overwhelming. David is pleading with God and begging for relief. "Consider and answer me, Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." He felt he would die, right? So he's just crying out to the Lord for deliverance. "Lest my enemy say," or he's pointing back to the enemy, "lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, or my foes rejoice because I am shaken." One of the things that we see in these times, and hear this, you know, maybe you're not going to have this just deep despair. I hope so. I hope that's true. But there will be times when you question, when you wonder, what is God doing? And you have times of sorrow and grief. Hear this today. It's right to question God in those times. How long, O Lord? Right? And we'll talk about the difference in the kinds of questions we ask here in a little bit. But it is right. Sometimes I think we feel like that we can never ask God any questions, you know, or never have honest, real problems with what's going on in the world, you know. The world's a mess, right? I mean, as you say a lot of times, God, why does it have to be like this? Why does it have to be such a mess? Why do people have to be so selfish and so evil? Why? Well, you did. He'd probably say, "You did it," right? You know, right? You guys did it. But it's right to question. "Consider me, O Lord, light up my eyes." It's not wrong to cry out to God in your sorrow. It's God, what God wants us to do. Sometimes life makes no sense. And a lot of times it's because we just don't have the information that God has. But it doesn't change the way that it feels, right? You know, our friend, she knew her husband was going to die. It doesn't make it any easier, right? She knows he's with the Lord, but she still misses him. And it's hard. It's not wrong to cry out to God. That's what God wants us to do. Sometimes life makes no sense. Like, just makes no sense. And it's right to just ask God about it. It can be an act of faith, a turning to or running to God and asking God to deliver you. This is what David is doing here. God, you're far from me. I don't know what's going on. Life is hard right now. I feel like you've even abandoned me. God, help me. Consider and answer me, O Lord. Hear me, God. Please hear me. And that's what David is doing. Crying out, asking God to act, and continuing to do his side. Even though when God feels distant, he continues to talk to God. Now, as I said, well, there's two kinds of crying out. I think that's a big part of why we're confused sometimes, why we think it's better to never question God or question life or whatever. There are honest questions where life doesn't make sense and you actually just need wisdom or help. Okay? That's good. Ask God for wisdom and help. Life doesn't make sense. You turn to your Creator for deliverance. You grapple with the hard questions of life and you ask God about it. You dig into the Word and you work through it. You ask other Christians for help. That is good. God wants us. He gave us minds that work for a reason, amen? To grapple with hard questions in life, because life often doesn't make sense. But the other kind, and here's a scripture, you know, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God," right? When you're getting anxious and life isn't making sense and you don't know what to do? You're told to ask God about it, right? "I don't understand this, God. Help me. Here's my request, and please fix this problem." The other kind of crying out, though, are those that accuse God. And that can be a fine line sometimes. And we're good Pharisees at times to spin our whining into, I'm just questioning. So be careful. But selfish questions, why didn't this go the way I wanted it to? God, why can't this be better? Why can't you do what I want you to do? Accusing God of wrongdoing, that wasn't right, God, that's not how I would have done it. You shouldn't have done that. Accusing God of not caring or not providing for you. Entitled questions. Well, you know, God, I deserve this or I deserve that. How, this shouldn't be, this can't be like this. Those kind of things. So just be careful. God wants you to run to him. He wants you to ask questions, but be careful that those are just honest questions where you're really just trying to learn and you're just entrusting yourself to the Lord and you're not just throwing the blame on him and accusing him. Because you see that all throughout the scriptures as well, where people foolishly do that. And that's in our culture, isn't it? Whenever anything bad happens, well, I can't believe in God because that happened. You know? Okay, so you had nothing to do with it, right? You know, right? Some person just did evil, and you blame God when you said all your life you don't want God. The issue, again, in the two types of questions is faith. The first one is, by faith, I don't understand life. That's reality, right? That's reality and humility. I don't understand. I don't have all the information. I know God does, so I'm going to ask. And what I do is I ask questions by faith, trusting that whatever the answer is, it's right because it's God. I may not like it, right? I may hate it. It may still be hard. But I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing. I'm going to ask my questions by faith. I'm going to let God give me the answer that he wants me to have. And I'm going to just live that way. It's fine. The other one is faithless. Well, God, how dare you not give me the life that you said I'm supposed to have or the life that I deserve? Or how dare you make my family like this? Well, look at these people, you know, Psalm 73. And I looked at the rich and they were doing so well and didn't have any pain. They never got sick and it's a mess over here. What in the world are you doing, right? That's a faithless question. That psalm ends with a good resolution. He came back to trusting God at the end. Remember God's goodness in these times when it's dry. And this is, again, what I said. A big part of learning to follow Christ is learning to direct your own thoughts. You can't control your thoughts. Bad thoughts will come. There's many reasons for that. Part of it's the surrounding culture, the way that you've been raised, the things you have chased, right? You've chased a bad lifestyle. Constantly in counseling, we'll get people who have a bad lifestyle. They come for 3 weeks and they say, well, I'm not better. How long did you chase that lifestyle? 46 years. You thought 3 weeks was going to turn it around? Uh-huh. Right? You know, sometimes it's hard. You make it hard on yourself. And you have to learn to direct your thoughts. You can't control them. Some, you know, there's attacks from the enemy even. Things will come in, but you have to speak to yourself, speak truth, use the word of God. No, that is not true. Here's who God is. No, that's not true. Here's what God has said. No, that's not true. I don't have all the information on that. Those kind of things. Direct your thoughts. Remember God's goodness. And so here's how this works. David feels dry. God is far from him. Where is God at? He cries out to the Lord and he says at the end, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but I still remember your goodness. And David's putting his hope right in that God is good. And he's going to trust God. God's going to get him through this time of dryness. Doc used to say, all suffering is for a time. It's all short. There's an end to it. It's not forever. In this life, we certainly see that. There's times of suffering, times when it ends. But we know ultimately we will die and go to heaven. It's over. We're no more suffering, right? It's all for a time. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Do you notice that? David is directing his mind, isn't he? He's directing his mind right in there. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord. Do you think he felt like singing to the Lord? Doesn't seem like it in verse 1 and 2, does it? Right? He felt like what is going on here? But he said, I don't care what's going on in my heart. I will sing to the Lord. That's faith right there. Amen. That's faith. That's learning to direct his mind to what is true, what is right, and then his actions follow. I will sing to the Lord. I will trust the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. Choosing joy when life is hard. You can do that. You can do that. You can. Sometimes it's not what we want. Sometimes it's very difficult. You know, just the sorrow just overwhelms you. I've been there. It's overwhelming, and you just don't know where to turn. And you have to choose to trust God and choose joy, because we know the end of the story. And we know who God is in the middle of the story. Remember, you are born again. If you're in Christ, you are saved. I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. You are saved. God is a delivering God. Trust him. I throw this up. I'm not going to read it. Write that in your Bible margin. Go back and read that baby whenever you get a chance, right? Romans 8. You're having a time that's down. What has God said about you? What has God promised you? What does God think about you in general? And read that over and over again. Read it every day. Read it more than once a day. God is a delivering God. You can trust him. Remember that he's always good. Remember that he is always good. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David is remembering back to times in his life when he didn't feel spiritually dry. When God, he could see God at work in his life. When he did feel near to God. When he did feel like God was present in his life and working. And God had given him such grace. And so he said, I just remember that, God. You've dealt bountifully with me. This is just a hard time. We'll get through it. David's response in the middle of a dry time was to sing. Just to sing. Just to cry out to the Lord in prayer and sing. God has dealt bountifully with me. God is always good. He's given us such grace. Direct your thoughts. That's three quarters of the battle, probably, is just thinking on what is right. Whatever things are true, whatever things are just, noble, pure, good, report, right? Lovely. Meditate on these things. Direct your mind into what is true and what is right. Paul said this in that passage we looked at earlier. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. Okay, so current. He will deliver us, future, right? On him, we have set our hope. He will deliver us now. He delivered us past. He will deliver us now. And on him, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again, future. You see, God is on the scene. We're remembering what God has done. We know we're trusting him to deliver us now, and he's going to keep on delivering us until he is done with us. Remember the truth. God is good. When God feels distant, you know, remember scriptures. He is ever present. He's told you, he's promised you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You feel like he's distant, right? Doesn't negate your feelings. Their feelings are real, but they're not true. Okay, director, this is how I feel. This is not true. God is still for me. God still loves me. God is still with me. I am just not seeing it. It's a dry time. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to get into his word. I'm going to have some good fellowship with other Christians, and I'm going to trust God to get me through this. I'm going to meditate on good passages of scripture. I'm going to sing. I'm going to remember. I'm going to make a Thanksgiving list of all the things that God has done, and I'm going to read that every day until I get through this dark time. Remember God's goodness. Join me as we pray. Oh God, many of us have felt like David feels in this psalm. Life gets super heavy. Seems like there's no end to the suffering. We see the evil of the world spinning out of the control, and there's personal attacks, there's dangers on every side, we're afraid for our families, and we cry out to you, and it doesn't seem like you're working, and something happens in us where we just feel like even you are distant, even though we would confess that's foolish. God, help us in those times to remember all the things that David remembered, who you are, that you hear us, that you want us to talk to you, that you are good to us, that you have given us salvation, that you love us, that you are for us, and that you are near We're just not seeing it. God, if there's anyone in hearing range today that is suffering or depressed or down or struggling, I pray that by your Spirit you would give them encouragement. God, that you would lift up those drooping hands and fill them with joy today because they know Christ and they know the future that they have in him. God, if they don't, that you would use your word to give them new life in Christ, to show them that there's a new way to live, that this whole broken, messed up world is not all there is, but there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ they can know you and be born again. God, thank you for the reality of Scripture. I know myself, I have felt like this. I've had these times, and it's rough. God, thank you that your word is so real, and it just helps us understand and remember that it is genuine. It just speaks to real life, and that there is an answer for every problem we have, even the hardest ones where you feel distant. And God, just use this time, this week, to glorify yourself and to grow us into better Christians. In Jesus' name, amen.